Now, the weekday afternoon lineup here on the Ideas Network is changing. Science Friday stays the same. Starting next week, Monday through Thursday, we'll hear an hour of On Point at 1 o'clock, and then The Takeaway airs at 2. The Takeaway is a national daily news program, and the focus is on bringing together perspectives and experiences from across the country. Tanzina Vega hosts The Takeaway. She talked to WPR host Keely Boltina.
What kinds of conversation can people hear when they listen to The Takeaway?
One of the things that I grounded the show in when I started as host was there were three gaps in American society that really inform all of the reporting that we do. And what I mean by that is there is an empathy gap, there is a wealth gap, and there is a truth gap. And what we aim to do is ground all of our work with that in the background, understanding how we can close some of these gaps. So a lot of our work focuses on the news of the day, but it's not just telling you what just happened. What we're trying to do is offer you some analysis, some insight, some nuance, and some depth to what you're already probably inundated by in more commercial media. So that's essentially the type of conversation that we're trying to have. And we're also trying to make sure that the people that we interview are diverse in and of themselves when we're talking about points of view. Not always, you know, we have everybody from folks at the New York Times to, you know, people in local communities weighing in on what they think. And a big portion of the show is also our listeners.
Yeah. How much does audience participation play into these shows?
Audience participation is key, and there are many different ways that we ask for people to join us in the conversation. One of the ways, and you'll hear me talking about this every day on the show, is they can just call us. We'd love to hear from our listeners. Our number is 877-8-MY-TAKE. That line is open for you to call us pretty much about anything. We often ask listener questions on social media. We ask people to call us in terms of what they're thinking of the news of the day. And for those who really want to stay connected with The Takeaway at a more in-depth level, we also have a text messaging network. And that will allow producers and people on our team to reach out to folks and say, hey, you know, are you interested in weighing in on this particular topic? People who want to engage with the show that way can text START, S-T-A-R-T, to the number 69866.
Some listeners here in Wisconsin may not have heard much of The Takeaway. It's a new program for us. So here's a quick listen from a conversation you had earlier this month.
As the coronavirus ravages communities across the United States, another epidemic continues to unfold in the background, the opioid crisis. Last year, preliminary data from the CDC showed that nearly 72,000 people died from an overdose. The majority of those were opioid-related. And during the pandemic, the situation may be worsening.
We're living in this pandemic, and still other crises haven't subsided. How does your team approach and balance intersecting issues?
One of the things I try to avoid is what I call the bright, shiny object syndrome, where a lot of media, particularly if you're looking at breaking news, is covering whatever just happened. And what happens there is that it's important to make sure we're covering as quickly as possible developing stories across the country. But one of the things I'm interested in is making sure that we don't lose sight of the long tail of many of the other issues that are compounding us right now. The coronavirus is one thing that we've continued to report on. But don't forget, just a couple of months ago, just even a year ago, we were talking about the opioid crisis. We were talking about the Mueller report. You know, these aren't things that just disappear. They're things that the media might pivot on, you know, once it's no longer the hot thing to talk about. And at The Takeaway, we actually think that that's not the way to go. What we want to do is make sure that we haven't forgotten about the long tail of some of these stories and how these ideas and these issues are intersecting, you know, especially when we look at things like inequality, when we look at things even like the coronavirus, right? Where are there different peaks and valleys? What communities are most affected? Which ones aren't? And oftentimes on The Takeaway, we tend to have these conversations a little bit earlier than mainstream media might be doing.
Tanzina Vega hosts The Takeaway. It's coming to the Ideas Network starting Monday, and you can listen at 2 o'clock in the afternoon every Monday through Thursday. Tanzina, Wisconsin has had some experiences with journalists from the coast not taking time to understand what life is like here. How do you make sure that you're talking about, that you're talking with everyone in the country?
Well, again, that's another big part of the takeaway. I used to be a national reporter at the New York Times. And when I did that, particularly covering the issue of race in this country, one of the most important things to do was not to stay in New York and to make sure that we're getting out across the country and traveling across the country. Right now, obviously, with the coronavirus, we're limited in where we can be physically. Before that, we were making sure that we were visiting sister stations across the country and doing reporting on the ground at those places. We, you know, really try not to to have that sort of coastal bias that I think a lot of folks, you know, might be a little bit more myopic on, and really try to make sure that we are getting people from those communities to talk to us and not just taking the sort of 35,000 foot view about what's happening.
You mentioned your career focused on reporting on race and inequality. What's different now than when you've reported on those issues in the past?
Well, I think one of the things I often think about is when I pitched this idea at the New York Times, it was before the killing of Michael Brown in Ferguson, Missouri. And so the issues that we were thinking about then, I think, had not really reached the fever pitch in the public consciousness as far as the, you know, criminal justice reform and other things, that, you know, systemic inequality, the racial wealth gap. And they were things that I think people were talking about, mostly in academic or activist circles, but they hadn't really reached the kitchen table of most Americans. If you fast forward to today, to 2020, and we look at what has happened with the rise of the, you know, the uprising for racial justice across the country, how the movement for Black Lives and Black Lives Matter has morphed into something that is no longer, you know, ignored by top political candidates, whether they're for it or against it. If you look at the conversations that so many people are having today who are saying things like, you know, systemic inequality, who are invoking those types of that type of language, that tells me that there has been a shift in the awareness of so many of these issues that that Americans, you know, may or may not have wanted to talk about. I think another thing that's shifted is we're talking about, you know, almost a decade of work that I've been doing in this space. And, you know, social media has evolved significantly in that time. And so we're now, you know, a lot of these issues, especially when we're talking about police brutality, a lot of these issues aren't new. What they are is that they're being shown. We are seeing these things playing out. We're seeing with our own eyes the police injustice that's happening around the country and other things that are happening. We're seeing, you know, incidences like some folks are calling them the Karen incidences, right, where people are calling the police on Black people and people of color for various, you know, minor issues. And so our consciousness, I think, has been altered in many ways, and it's forcing us to really adjust our lens and not be able to ignore what we may have been able to just sweep under the rug, you know, a decade or two ago.
Last year, you mentioned that you were inspired by journalist Christiane Amanpour saying that she tries to be truthful, not neutral. Why does that resonate with you?
I think one of the things that journalists have been accused of, and I think this was one of the tenets of journalism, at least in its traditional form, is this idea of objectivity. And so there was a need, I think many journalists, in particular younger journalists, may have felt to, if we interview this person, then we must interview that person who has the opposing view. That can only take you so far. And I think, as I mentioned at the top of our conversation, one of the things that the takeaway is really looking at is the truth gap, you know, between, and which I think is quite, you know, almost unprecedented for many of us who've never really dealt with this level of bending of the truth, of lying, you know, coming from, you know, our presidential administration, coming from the sources that we get on social media, you know, things that news articles that we thought might, you know, our trust in the media has been shaken. And so I think that right now it's paramount to be able to say we can't just, you know, it's no longer business as usual. The stakes have changed, and the cards that we're all playing with have changed, and we need to be able to adapt to that. And the only way to do that is to remain in some areas, you know, truthful. And that may mean, you know, we don't necessarily have an A and or B conversation. Not everything is as simple as that. And it requires longer conversations. It requires more depth of a conversation. It's not something that you can just tweet, you know, 140 or 260 characters and get to the bottom of. And that's where I think the you know, it's simpler to say to remain neutral, quote unquote, if you're trying to just, you know, posit A against B. It's much more difficult to try and get to a place of authentic, you know, reality for what's really happening on the ground. And I think that's what the takeaway is striving to do, while at the same time, you know, maintaining its editorial and journalistic standards.
We will certainly be listening. Tanzina, thank you for your time.
We are so excited, Wisconsin. Thank you for having us, and we hope to serve you well.
That was The Takeaway host, Tanzina Vega, talking with WPR host Keeley Boltina. You can hear The Takeaway here on the Ideas Network starting August 31st. Just tune in Monday through Thursday at 2 in the afternoon. For a list of that and other program changes here at Wisconsin Public Radio, head over to our website and look at WPR.org/fall2020.